appreciate again, Brother Mike Patterson.
8 times on the Sunday before, Brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, I remember one time I was preaching on the Sunday. I was up in Michigan, and pastor came over Saturday night late and knocked on my door. He's a good friend of mine up there. I do have a couple good friends, amen. And so he came to my door, and he says, "Brother," he says, would you preach on the radio tomorrow morning? It's live." And he said, "I'd like you to preach." And I said, "I don't know if I'm up to it, brother." And man, he left, and the Lord smote my heart, you know, because I always told the Lord I'll preach whenever I get a chance to preach. And so I quickly ran over to the church that evening. He was still over at church, and I knocked on his office door. He said, "What do you want?" I said, "Brother Mike." He said, "I'll preach in the morning." I said, "Okay, bro, I'll pick you up at 7:30. "No, I'll pick you up 6:45 because I had to be there at 7 o'clock at the radio station." And preached that morning at the radio station, then preached Sunday school, preached the morning service. Went in, hit into the county jail and preached 4 more times in the afternoon. Preached to the youth that night. A late afternoon, then preached in the evening service, amen. I was wore out. I don't know if I can do that anymore, but I was wore out that day, amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here again, and I'm glad that you can be back tonight, amen. I'm glad we're seeing some of the same crowd out. It's always the same crowd. Praise the Lord, amen. That's better not having anybody here, isn't it, amen? If you get the everybody comes back, I like that. Very few churches have that kind of a turnout. Night after night after night. Usually they hear me once, preacher, and it goes down. Amen. That's it from Sunday morning to Wednesday night, and you might have with one person by Wednesday night, you know. And I have preached to just my wife and my 2 daughters one time when I was pastoring. Remember that, Jenny? On a Wednesday night, I preached to my wife and just my 2 daughters. And tonight we have another daughter with us this evening, but she's not our daughter, you know. It's our pastor's daughter, Deborah Swearinga. Is here in your presence, amen. And she's going to be traveling with us for the next 3 weeks on the road. She's doing an internship for Ambassador Baptist College, and you have to do that to graduate, don't you? So if we just tell them you didn't do it, it's going to cost you. I'm just telling you, amen. So, and she's just a blessing. I've known her since I don't know how old were you, Deborah, when you were 4 years old. I've known her since she was 4 years old, and she's just become my buddy and my wife's friend, amen. And I've just enjoyed her over the years, and her family, and her brother's in the ministry. Her sister's married to a good young man that's a deacon in our church, and her other brother's an associate pastor. One brother's going out to California to start a church, and the whole family's involved in ministry. Isn't that great, amen, to hear those kind of things? I'm just excited about it. What, honey? Oh, and she's engaged to an evangelist, amen, so... Praise the Lord. I haven't talked to him yet about her much. I told him I'll fill him in when she's not around. But you know, but he's already Googled IO over her and stuff. You know, and you know when her thing goes off on her phone because he's sending her a text or something, and she jumps up with a smile on her face and her heart goes pitter patter. It's like a pacemaker. You know, just keeps you going. Amen. And well, praise the Lord. Philippians tonight in chapter 2 with me, please. Philippians in chapter 2. How many, I don't know if any of you are like this, how many of you would say that sometimes your wife, I'm not preaching on this, just thought this came to my mind, I'll tell you why in a minute. Your wife tells you something. Have you ever had this happen? Your wife tells you something and you say, "No, it's all right," or you say, "No, I did that," and then you find out you did not do that. Anybody like that want to admit that besides me? And tonight I was on the way into the church, and I looked, and I mean, it had dumped rain, and I looked in the pastor's window. On his van was open, and I came into church, and I said, "Sister," I said, "your husband's window is open on the van," and she says, "No," he said, "it's not." And so I went back out and looked, and I said, "Well, yours is up, but his isn't." And I said, "Who's driving home tonight?" She said, "He is." Amen. So, brother, I'm just trying to help you out here a little bit, not embarrass you at all, amen, brother, but sometimes our wives are right, and I never admit it when she is, amen. So I thought, Sister Bev, I just admit it for him tonight, you know, that you were right and he was wrong, you know, but well, praise the Lord. Philippians in chapter 2. It's good to have friends, amen, and good that you can tease and have a good time and joke a little bit. And now all of Dresden knows that you were wrong, Pastor. You got to shut them things off out there. quit, amen. Well, you need one of these up here. You just go like that and bleep it off for a little bit, you know. Amen. I forgot all about that. Oh, boy. People are going to think we're terrible. Amen. Philippians in chapter 2, would you stand with me this evening, please, as we read from this text. And Philippians in chapter 2 with me. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you. I want to begin in verse 5 where he makes this statement, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, Father, thank you for your precious word this evening. And I pray again tonight that you'd help me, Lord, and Father, that you'd have the glory and the honor. And Lord, again, Father, possibly everybody in this room knows you as their Savior. But Father, just you know the heart. And Father, there might be one tonight that's still not sure, still on the edge, Father, still struggling with this, that God, you'd get a hold of that heart tonight, God. And Father, someone tonight may be struggling with the ideas of things in their life. Help them, Father. Strengthen them as we look at this text. And it's this thought tonight that I have in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I've been looking for a good text for this message for a while. Because I had the message before I ever had the text. Amen. I had all the points and all the scripture laid out. And I'm always changing this all the time. But let me start off this way. I was in Rhode Island a couple of years back, and I was preaching a meeting. I was preaching just one day there on a Sunday for a pastor, and this pastor works for Hasbro Toy Company. How many of you know what the Hasbro Toy Company is? And boy, he loves the Lord, and he's just a blessing to be around. His name is Brother Descent, and he asked me when I met him up in a meeting up in Michigan if I come and preach sometime when I'm coming through, and I happened to be coming out of Maine, and I ran down there on my way over into Connecticut. It wasn't that far out of my way to go and preach for him. Had a great time with him there. And as I'm preaching, he has, in a morning service, he has a fellow come in, a pastor, a great big man, a big black man came in. He's sitting down here on this side of the aisle. They only have one aisle, or one row of seats, amen, right down the middle of the church. And he's sitting over on this side about, maybe a third of the way back or so in the church. And you get to preaching, and he doesn't shout amen like we hear sometimes, like I like to do amen. Or sometimes I might shout, well, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. And I've even been known to jump up and kick my leg and say, well, glory, amen, a few times once in a while. He didn't do any of that, but he sat there. And as you're preaching, brother, when something would get them, and especially if you started preaching about Jesus or making the name, mention the name of Jesus, he just sat there and he just welled up, and he had a deep, booming voice. And he'd go, Jesus, you know. And I want to tell you what, boy, that would send chills up here. That would send chills up the back of your neck, amen. And especially the first time he did it when you weren't expecting that. And I mean, and I'm not loud. He was loud, amen. How many of you know people who are loud? You think I'm loud? He was loud. I mean, I'm telling you, and that would boom all the way across that auditorium, and it would almost back you up against the wall and pin you there. Is what it felt like. Thank you. And a penny there is what it felt like, you know, that you're getting pinned right against the wall almost. But boy, he was excited about Jesus. And every time you mention name or talk about Jesus, you just have a smile on his face, you know. And I thoroughly got to enjoy him during that day. It might drive some people crazy, but I enjoyed it, you know, just listening to him. When the preacher would say something, sometimes he would belt it out, or somebody was singing, and boy, it just tickled his fancy. He would just shout out Jesus, you know, the name of Jesus. And so I came up with this message because of Jesus, and I want to just hit three basic points this evening. There's a lot of things to go along with them. I hope that will help you as a child of God. But number one, I want you to look with me, if you would please, over the book of Acts in chapter 4. I'm just using this that we looked at as a kickoff text this evening. Acts in chapter 4. Most of these scriptures you're going to know. I hope they'll be an encouragement to you anyway. In fact, the Word of God, no matter how many times you read it, ought to be an encouragement to you. Amen. No matter how many times you hear a verse over and over and over again, you ought to be an encouragement to you. I think it was D. G.L. Moody had an evangelist in one time in the tabernacle there in Chicago, a brother, when he was pastoring, and he was gone for the week. The guy was preaching a whole week of meetings for him, and he was gone on Monday through Wednesday or Thursday, I guess it was, and he come back Thursday night, and he asked his wife how things went. She said, well, he got up on Monday night, and he said, tonight I'm going to begin preaching, and I was going through my Bible today, and the Lord led me to the book of John. And so I asked the Lord where I should be in the book of John. He said, the Lord put on my heart to go to chapter 3. And I said, what verse in chapter 3? And I started reading down through there. And the Lord stopped me at verse 16. And he says, I got to verse 16. And he preached that night on John chapter 3, verse 16. Tuesday night, he got up in the same thing. John 3:16, the same words out of his mouth about asking God, and he did ask God. No doubt in my mind, and no doubt in D.L. Moody's mind later on. Amen. And Wednesday night, every night he preached on John 3:16, brother. And it came. Brother Moody came back late Thursday night, talking to his wife. And his wife told him the whole story. And he gets in there on Friday night. And he said, "Well, we'll see what happens tonight." And he's sitting there next to his wife, and the man says, "You know," he says, "I was praying today about what I should preach and where I should go, and the Lord directed me to the book of John, and then I prayed again." Lord, what chapter? And God said, chapter 3. And he said, D.L. Moody sat there and looked at his wife, and he was getting perturbed, you know, at this guy. Now, 5 nights in a row, he's going to preach on the same thing. And he said, and go to verse 16. Amen. And he preached on John 3:16. Brother Moody made this statement about it later on. He said it was one of the best messages he ever heard on John 3:16. And it was not like any of the other 4 messages that he preached. Amen. And so, boy, we got a lot to say about Jesus, do we not? And what Jesus has done. We got a name to proclaim, and we ought not to be ashamed of it. We ought not to be afraid of it. We ought not to be afraid to talk about it. We ought not to be afraid to tell other people about it, because if he can save you and your wicked soul, he can save anybody. Amen. If he can save me, he can save anybody. If he can save you, he can save anybody, no matter who it is. Amen. He can save grandmas, grandpas, fathers, sons, aunts, uncles, moms, dads. He can save anybody if he can save me and you. That's Jesus, amen, because of what he's done upon the cross of Calvary. Now, he said in the book of Acts in chapter 4, and we understand something, there is no salvation without him. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, he makes this statement, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now look at verse 11 and 12. This stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's always been the name of Jesus. It's always been the shed blood of Jesus. It's always been his death upon the cross. It's always been his resurrection. It's always been about him and not about anybody else. There's no salvation in anyone else. There's no salvation front through anybody else. It's only through the name of Jesus. Now, what's sad sometimes is that many believers, because they have family members who attend other churches. Amen? And they believe just because they attend a church that they're saved. That's not true. In fact, you can attend this church and not be saved. In fact, some people have attended this church, Pastor, and not been saved. Amen. And came and heard the preaching and did not get saved. Others have come here and have gotten saved as a result of being here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. But it's because of Jesus, and without him, there's no salvation at all in anyone else or anything else or any baptism or any church membership or any gift that you can give. It's only in Christ and in Christ alone, period. And that's all there is about it. And that's all there is to it. John chapter 10, verse 27 through verse 30. Not only is there salvation, no salvation without him, but salvation is a 100% complete because of him. It's complete because of him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father and I, or I and my Father, are one. Amen. So you see that not only is salvation through him, but salvation is totally complete because of him. Because I give unto them eternal life. It don't come by anybody else or from anybody else but him. He said, but I give unto them, not only do I give unto them eternal life, but he says, they shall, what? Never perish. People have a hard time of wrapping their mind around that thing. And they think that now if I don't do this or if I don't do this and then I don't have it. That's not true. We have it because of him and not because of baptism. Now baptism is the first step after salvation of obedience. Amen. We ought to desire to be baptized. I remember one time a lady in church, a friend of mine, was pastoring, and boy, she wanted to get baptized, Pastor. She wanted to get baptized so bad, and she was scared to death of water. Everybody else here is scared of water. I'm not afraid of water, but I hate fishing on a boat, amen, because I can float, but I'm like a bobber with my neck in the water type of thing. You know, I'd rather be in a plane because the Bible says, I'd rather be in a plane because I think I got a chance in a plane if it's going down. I ain't got a chance in a boat if I'm out in the middle of the lake. I won't last that long. Well, in a plane, I got a chance. You say, what do you mean, Brother Mike? If it starts to do a nosedive, brother, I'm going to stand up now. I'm going to jump up in the air right before it hits the ground. I will live longer than you. You're going to go before me if I do that, amen. I'm going to jump before it hits. Hallelujah. And what? The salvation is complete, totally complete, 100% because of him. And this lady was afraid of drowning if she got baptized. And she made this statement to the pastor. So the pastor, every time he went to baptize her, looked like she was weightlifting or something, brother. Just a real stocky lady. And she go and every time you go to baptize her, she'd stiffen up. And she'd say, I can't, Pastor, I can't. After about the third or fourth time of that, because she was just scared of the water, after about the third or fourth time, the last time that she got in the water, then he said, I got her now. I know what I'm going to do. And he says, so I decided I want to get her in the water this time. If I go to put her down, she starts to stiffen up. I'm going to take my foot and kick her legs out from underneath her, put her down underneath the water, and then bring her up real quick. And he says, so I get her, and she starts to say, no. And she said, I kicked her legs out from underneath her. She went down the water. She came back up, and she goes, and she hugged me. He said, thank you, Pastor, thank you. You know, with some people, and that's a step of obedience, amen. It's not. Hey, listen, and the baptism doesn't save you, amen. Jesus Christ saves you. The baptism doesn't make you any better. It's just the fact that you have been obedient to God in water baptism according to the Word of God, that others might know what has taken place in your life. And salvation is complete because of him. There's none without him. It's complete because of him. And then we have life because of the salvation. We have life because of the salvation that we have. Because of Jesus, you have life and you have eternal life. He said in 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, what? Live through him. And now we don't understand eternal life, that I might have eternal life through him, but that I might also, I get to think about this, I might also just live through him. Now, I'm alive because of him and salvation, but I have a life that I can live through him because of what he has done. I can live the Christian life. I can live a victorious Christian life. You can live a victorious Christian life. You can live a life that exemplifies Jesus Christ, that points people to him and do what's right as a believer in Christ. You can live that kind of a life. He says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given up to us, eternal life and salvation, and this life is in him. He's given it to you, but it's in him. And so the life that I even live now, not only is in him in salvation, but the life I live now on this earth ought to be in him and according to him and according to his word as a believer in Jesus Christ. And not only do we have salvation, or because of Jesus we have salvation, but because of Jesus we have hope. Amen. And we heard of that, on that word hope, a little bit this morning. I believe it was this morning when one of the brothers made this statement about hope. It's not that I hope I get a new car, or I hope I get something good at Christmas, or I hope that at my birthday I'll get a new rifle for deer hunting preacher, amen. And I don't have to worry about that. My wife wouldn't buy me one anyway, amen. And if I had one, she might use it on me sometimes. So I don't. No, I'm just kidding, amen. But you know, so it's not that kind of a hope. It's a surety. It's a sure thing. This hope that he talks about in Jesus Christ. And this hope, as we think about this hope of what Christ has done for us, I have the hope of glory.
I have Jesus Christ. It's a surety. It's something I don't have to worry about. I know in whom I believe. I know in whom saved me. And not only did He save me, but He keeps me saved. And I have life because of Him. And now I have hope because of Him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 through 19 says that by two immutable things, amen, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This hope is an anchor of the soul, for sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. It's a sure and steadfast hope. I tell you what, I've got an anchor, amen. I've got Jesus Christ. He can keep me in place. He can keep me still. He'll help me if I just call upon His name. And He'll keep me, boy, when the turmoils of life come, preacher, He's there holding me in place, because I can't hold myself in place. It takes Him to hold me in place. It takes Him to keep me where I need to be as a believer in Jesus Christ. But because of this hope, He's an anchor to me. He's an anchor of my soul. Not just what the song says, but what the Word of God says. Amen. And He holds me in place in every turmoil in my life. And He'll hold you the same way. No matter what you're going through, He'll keep you in place. Just call upon Him. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Amen. And He'll never let you go. Now, I get to think of this whole, I get to think of an anchor. I get to think of them great big Navy ships, amen, and those huge anchors that hang off to the side. And that's the kind of anchor I get to think about. I think of an anchor. What do you think of when you think of an anchor, you know? I'm not thinking of, Brother Dave, we went fishing with you one time, and I'm not thinking about the little tiddly thing you threw in the water called an anchor. That's not what I'm thinking about, amen. Sometimes it's a jug of sometimes it's a milk jug filled with cement that they use. That's not the kind of anchor, man. I can drag that around all day long, amen. Oh, I'm thinking about an anchor, boy, that when it's holding on to me and I'm holding on to it because He's an anchor of my soul, He ain't letting go, amen. And boy, did you ever see one of them chains on one of them things? I'm not chained to sin anymore, but boy, I'm hooked to the right anchor today, amen. I want to tell you what, and them chains ain't little. Boy, you watch some chains, those links are huge on those things, brother. It just blows my mind, you know. I don't even know if I could pick one link up anymore, you know. I couldn't drag that anchor around, but He holds me steadfast and sure. He holds me where I need to be. He keeps me saved. He keeps me safe. And then not only is this hope an anchor, but this hope is living. It's a living hope. He says in the book of 1 Peter 1:3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He said a lively hope. He said living hope. Well, listen to it. We might look at somebody and we might say, did you ever do this? Maybe with your own kids when they were growing up, and you said, "Man, I'm just wore out. That is a lively child." I get to thinking of Zach. Zach was a lively child. Love you, Brother Zach. Amen. A lively child. Amen. And your kids, some of your kids were like, how many of you got grandchildren? Are your grandchildren lively or not? Well, I can't keep up with them. I remember one time they said they took a professional football team and they put them in a room of toddlers one day. And each football, I can't remember what team it was, but it might have been the Cowboys, I don't know. And they deserve this, amen. But anyway, they put them in a pack of Cleveland Browns, because they ain't done nothing in years. They put them in a room with all these toddlers, brother, and they assigned each player to one toddler. Now, not that they had to watch that toddler, Brother Dave, but what they had to do was everything that toddler did, that football player had to do. And they said they were exhausted. The hardest workout they have ever had in their life. Why? Because those are lively children. Amen. And that's how we think. Isn't that how you think of the word lively when you hear lively? A lively type thing. But let me tell you what this word means. And I told you this morning, I'm not Greek, Hebrew, at all. I couldn't pronounce the word if I tried to pronounce the word. And I have a hard enough time with the King's English, alone anything else. But this word lively, we use it, the idea today of being active and animated and quick. He's a lively child. The word here means the hope which they had living power. It was not cold. It was not inactive. And it was not dead, but it was alive. A lively hope. This hope they have, amen. It's alive in them. And they live. Boy, that's what you... What was it? I'm trying to think what... Sunday night. talking about Gaius, you know, and the truth that was in him. He had a lively hope, and people saw that because of how he lived his life and what he had done. And then not only is this hope an anchor, and this hope is living, but if you go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, you'll see that this hope gives an answer. It gives an answer. This hope that's in you and in me gives an answer. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Boy, you ought to, when somebody asks you, how come you're different? You ought to, the fear ought to be in your heart that you give them the right answer, amen. And that you tell them what Jesus did to you and that you don't hold back one thing. You don't hold back one verse. You don't hold back one word. You see, I don't know all the verses, Brother Mike, then give them the ones that you do know, amen. And give them the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in your life and how he has saved you. I've heard everybody in here, I believe I've heard everybody in here at one time, I've heard your testimony at one time or another, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to share that, not just at church, but don't be afraid to share that out in the community with neighbors and friends and people you work with when you get the opportunity. I know it's not like it used to be. I know, preacher, in the workplace today, you got to be careful what you say, amen. Not only about the sodomite lifestyle, but you need to be careful about what you say about everything. And you need to be careful what you say sometimes about Jesus. There's a right way and a wrong way in the workplace, amen. Because you know that costs some of your jobs today, and that might not be a bad thing, but that don't be foolish, amen. That when I was younger, you could take your Bible into the workplace, brother, and read it on break, and read it at lunch, and stand in the aisle. And I stood in the aisle of a factory and preached when I was working before I went into the ministry. Now I don't work anymore. I'm just a preacher, amen. So that's what everybody thinks. Hallelujah. And then, right, Brother Drake, you don't do anything. You're just a pastor, you know. Well, what do you think, amen? This hope gives an answer. You have an answer because of the hope of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, you have this answer in you that you can give to other people. And then this hope, I want you to see one more with me in this thought of because of this Jesus we have, because of Jesus we have hope. But this hope makes us pure. You didn't think of that one, did you? Look at the verse. 1 John chapter 3. Turn there. And look at this verse. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. I'll give you a second to get there, then I want to read this to you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And he says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The purification doesn't come because, by the way, not because of what I'm doing when I'm saved, it comes because of what Christ did for me to save me. I'm pure because of Him. Not because of me, but because of Him. And because of Him, then I don't want to live a lifestyle that is a pure, godly, holy, right lifestyle. But I'm made pure when Christ, when God looks at me through the blood of His Son. He sees cleanness. He sees His Son's blood. He sees me as being right with Him. If He did not, I could not be saved. Preacher, he sees me through Jesus Christ and Him alone, amen. So because of Him, I have been made pure. And because of that, I ought to want to live a pure, godly, right lifestyle as a child of God. Because of Jesus, we have hope. Because of Jesus, then, not only do we have salvation and hope, but because of Jesus, we have help. Help. I like help. How many of you like help when you can get it, amen? My wife was out here doing some of that corn today, and she knows how my back is, you know. And I mean, brother, go out any second, any time, any day, any hour. It's done. I mean, it's just going, that's it, I'm done, man, you know. And they had a bunch of corn in that box out there. And she said, would you take this inside for us? I'm standing there looking at it. She said, do you want help to get that up to you? And I'm thinking, there's two of the ladies here. There's just no way. There's just no way, you know. I'll get it. And so I got to be the man. I bent over and picked it up, you know. And my hip's been bothering me ever since. Amen. But it's all right. I mean, I'm all right. I'm walking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I felt it tink just a little bit in there. I'm a mess, brother. This is all within the last 40 years. Amen. So I've been saying, this is a mess. Amen. Because of Jesus, we have help. Psalm chapter 10, verse 14. Watch this. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it.
with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. He's a helper to the fatherless. Amen? He is. I tell you what, I don't know anything to explain that verse other than the fact that I grew up without a dad, but other than the fact than this, that when God saved me, he became my father. He's helped me all the way. And he's helped me, regardless of how you grew up, if a mom or a dad, or you grew up without a dad, he's your helper. It doesn't matter. And he will help the fatherless. He's there, brother, all the time. Well, I tell you, when you go to a children's home, and you run into some children sometimes that have no parents at all, I think I was pretty fortunate growing up, amen, that I still had my mom there. Maybe your mom was gone, or maybe you didn't have a mom growing up. Maybe you didn't have a dad growing up. I don't know. But I know this, that you have someone today that understands all about it, even if you still might not understand it, and he'll still give you the peace that you need to go through the rest of this life, no matter what you've been through in this life. Amen. And then not only is he a helper of the fatherless, but he's a helper of the poor and needy and the helpless. Amen. The poor, the needy, and the helpless. How many of you have ever seen some people sometimes? It looks like they're just helpless. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it just seems like preacher, they can't. They don't know how to do anything, or they don't have the ability sometimes to be able to do it. It's not that they could, but they don't have the ability to. Maybe they're wheelchair bound now. Maybe they can't even feed them on themselves. I know some folks like that, some fellows like that. I know a guy that was out in Maine. He was on a ladder on the side of his house. He was engaged to get married, and he fell off the ladder and broke his neck, and he's a quadriplegic, cannot move his hands, cannot move his legs, and he moves a wheelchair by blowing into a tube and back. He works on his computer. He's designed a rifle stand for paraplegics and people who come back from military who've lost their arms that you can sight in with one of these tubes. He's designed this thing on his computer, and he actually uses it for deer hunting himself, brother, on his back porch. Amen. He'll sit there and he'll sight in a deer, and he showed me some of the pictures of the deers he got. It's phenomenal. But there's some things he cannot do. After this happened to him, his fiance left him. Didn't divorce. He wasn't married yet, but left him. He was building a house for them to live in. She just walked out. I mean, as soon as it happened, as soon as he got out of the hospital, she left him and hightailed it out of there. Had nothing to do with him anymore at all. He's a Christian. He teaches Sunday school class every Sunday morning in Second Baptist Church in Palermo, Maine, where Chuck Barnes was the pastor. Amen. When he was still up there. Well, I tell you what, my friend, some people are helpless in some areas in their life, and he needs help all the time. But you know what? No matter if anybody else was ever there, God is still there to help him through the everyday aspects of life, the everyday spiritual battle. Aren't you glad that you have someone to help you when you're down? Aren't you glad you have somebody to help you when you're just, I know, I don't get depressed, preacher. You know, well, that's all right. You don't have to. I get mad. I don't know if I've ever been depressed, brother. I've been down, amen. But I mean, I see some people who go through deep depression. I don't think I've ever been there. I get bugged. I get irritated. I get mad. I get hot. I get, I guess before I really get that far, things just really call up my grit and just really, get me going real big. But he's a helper of the fatherless. He's free. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He said, boy, he said, I'm there. I'll help. I'm there to help. I'll listen. When you cry unto me, I'll be there. He's a helper not just of the fatherless, the poor, the needy, and the helpless, but he's a helper of the destitute. The destitute. Have you ever been into a big city where there are some people who are just, I mean, man, they're laying in the gutters, brother. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I have, amen, in some of the big cities. And you get into some of the big cities, you go to New York City, you can't help but see people laying in the gutters and drug addicts and drunks and people who, I see people all over the place pushing a little cart, and you look at it, you go to say something to them, and it's almost like there's nothing there anymore. I mean, it's a blank stare, brother.
And he shows you and I here in the scripture, and some of the people have absolutely nothing and they're destitute. But he said, boy, if they'll call upon me, I'll help them. Amen. They can be saved just like me and you can be saved. Just like you and I were saved, he can save them. He will help the destitute. He said in chapter Psalms chapter 102, verse 17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalm 22, 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. He said, just praise him and fear him and call upon him. He won't despise your prayer. For you as a believer, as an individual, even before you're a believer, he'll listen. You call upon him to save you, he'll save you. And once you're saved, you call upon him and he'll answer you. He'll listen to you. Call upon him, the destitute, those who are just completely, man, that seems like they have nothing at all left to live for. Amen. You ever felt like that? You don't have to put up your hand. Maybe you felt like it. Maybe you felt like you have nothing left at all in your life to even live for. He said, I'm a helper. And then he's a helper of the afflicted. In Psalm 22, 24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the affliction, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. He heard. Amen. When you think that, I just can't take another step in this life. I can't do one more thing. I'm like attacked every way I turn around. I'm just being beat up all the time by somebody in the ministry or somebody outside the ministry or the church is always under attack. I can't take it anymore. I'm tired of being afflicted. He said, listen, if you just call upon me, you just cry out unto me. He said, I'll hear you. I'll hear you. Now let me tell you something. When he hears you, he'll do something about it. He'll do something about it. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll lift you up. And then he's a helper of the saved. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and verse 6. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. And he says this, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord's my helper. Amen. And he said, just call upon him. He's your helper. He's the helper of the believer. He's the helper of the saved. He's there to come alongside you when you think that you are alone and nobody is there to help you, nobody is there to listen to you. You might say, my husband don't listen, my wife don't listen, my children don't listen, my parents don't listen, my friends don't listen, the pastor don't listen. I mean, maybe you would say that. I don't know. I hope not. Amen. Your pastor listens to me anyway, cry and whine and complain and moan and, you know. Hey, listen, when nobody else will listen, he'll listen. He'll hear you. He's there to help you. Why? Because you're a born-again believer, saved by the very grace of God. He has not left you lonely. Never, never, never will he leave you lonely. He's there all the time to help you, to strengthen you, to be with you. And we might say in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song, I will praise him. With my song. How many of you have a song? Amen. I mean, my wife's got all kinds of songs, amen. But with your song, that simply means with the melody that's in your heart because of what he has done for you. I'm not a singer, amen. We sing with the pastor up here and others sometimes, but that's not my forte, brother. Just give me a Bible, get me up here, give me a few notes, let me preach a little bit, amen. I'm not a preacher. Yeah, I know guys can out-preach me any day of the week, any time of the day. Morning, day, night, and that's fine. It don't bother me one bit. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do, amen, and hopefully say it the way God wants me to say it. But I know sometimes when Kiel was at home and my daughters were at home and wife's there, and sometimes I'd start singing something, and this is what I would hear from the other room. That song's not with that tune. That's the wrong tune for that song. Or those words, you make up your own words. Or you're singing three songs with one tune, three songs at a time, you know. Hey, it's my song. Amen. That's my answer to it now. It's my song. So, I mean, I might be singing Jesus Loves Me to Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. I don't know. But guess what? It's my song. Amen. Do you have a song? As you place a song in your heart, you might come to him singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Amen. Words might not come out of your lips, but here's how I look at this. You have the joy of Jesus in your heart. He's in your heart. You have the joy deep down in the soul because of what he's done for you. and what He's done for me. Well, because of Jesus, we have salvation. Because of Jesus, we have hope. And because of Jesus, we have help. Amen. We have help. And let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please, this evening. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Now, I want to ask you. Now, I'm looking out here tonight. Probably everybody in this room knows Christ as their personal Savior. But if you don't, this would be the perfect night. You say, why would it be the perfect night, Brother Mike? Because the gospel was preached about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Every night ought to be the perfect night, amen. But you might not take another breath after tonight. This might be the last night. This might be the last time that you'll have an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in here this evening with an upraised hand and say, Mike, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be sure tonight. Anybody at all right now, just slip your hand in the air and I'll pray for you. My prayer can't save you, won't save you, but I'll pray for you that you be obedient to the Word of God. Anybody at all right now with an upraised hand, say, pray for me. That's me tonight. I don't see any hands. Second question is this. You say, Mike, I'm Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again. Would you pray for me that I would show Jesus Christ forth in my life and just trust Him for my everyday things that I go through as His child, because He is a helper. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can put them down. Anybody else tonight before I go to the Lord in prayer? Anybody else? Father, I thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the privilege we have to call upon You. Thank You for the opportunity, Father, we've had to be here tonight. Now, God, I pray, we thank You, Father, for Jesus. We do, Lord. And, Father, I thank You for His salvation, Father, for what He's done for us, for how He died upon the cross. Now, Father, that as we call upon Him, we can trust Him for all things, not just salvation, but, Father, it begins there. And, Father, so I pray, if there might be one here tonight, didn't see any hands, Lord, but if they're not sure, please, Lord, that they would get that settled before they would leave here this evening. These who raised their hand, Father, help them, strengthen them, Father, that You'd have all the honor and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to do this. No music this evening. No music this evening. If God spoke to your heart, you just slip out of your seat right now and you come. Come on. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God spoke to your heart. You just slip out and you come. God bless you. Amen. You just slip out and come. Because of Jesus. Now, because of Him and what He's done. You just slip out and you come. The Lord spoke to your heart. You come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do, how He wants to do it, for the reason He wants to do it, that He would have all the glory and all of the honor.